Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Bitcoin's growing acceptance is beginning to reshape the life insurance industry. Life Insure, meanwhile, which operates entirely in Bitcoin, recently became the first to release audited financial statements fully denominated in Bitcoin with regulatory approval. This breakthrough underscores the potential for digital assets to transform insurance capital structures, risk management, and product offerings. As Bitcoin moves toward mainstream adoption, life insurers face both new challenges and opportunities to evolve alongside changing consumer expectations and regulatory landscapes. I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best Audio, and joining us now to discuss that and other trends in the market is Meanwhile CEO and co-founder Zach Townsend. Zach, welcome. It's wonderful to speak with you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Lori. Glad to be here.
Zach, what broader trends are we seeing with the integration of digital assets like Bitcoin into the life insurance space?
Yeah, that's a great question. I guess to take a step back and say that, you know, there's a big trend this year in 2025 around the institutionalization of Bitcoin and all sorts of more traditional financial institutions sort of thinking about Bitcoin as a store of value, as a way to, you know, denominate products or at least have that that integrated into the product somehow. So I think what we're seeing in life insurance is across number of dimensions. So one is a lot of insurers thinking about products they can bring to market, whether those are indexed annuities or, you know, indexed universal life or things like that, where really the product offering includes Bitcoin. And we're working with a number of carriers and reinsurers and sort of enabling that. The second area I think you're seeing it is like what, you know, you got Franklin Templeton and BlackRock and Fidelity out there telling people that they should have 1% or more of their retirement savings in Bitcoin. You know, what does that mean for an institution? You know, I don't think you're going to take 1% of the balance sheet of New York Life or Northwestern Mutual and put it in Bitcoin. I think that doesn't make sense as an unadmitted volatile asset. But I do think that lots of insurers are thinking about it as a portion of their balance sheet and, you know, what does that look like? I think those are the two big ways that Bitcoin is sort of interacting with traditional life insurance on the product side and sort of on the balance sheet risk exposure side.
Well, Zach, can you tell us more about Meanwhile, your Bitcoin-denominated financial release, and how it might influence how traditional life insurers think about capital reserves and reporting?
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, we try to run a relatively traditional life insurance company. So we're regulated by the Bermuda Monetary Authority. And as I'm sure your listeners know, Bermuda is really, you know, one of the insurance capitals of the world, obviously started in the captive business, but has really expanded now to many reinsurers and particularly life reinsurers. And so we're regulated by the BMA like any other insurer or reinsurer. It's just that instead of the company being denominated in dollars or euros or yen or Swiss francs, the entire company is denominated in Bitcoin. So we take premiums for our products in Bitcoin, we pay claims in Bitcoin, and then we do all the, you know, insurance in between, whether that's the actuarial math or the reserves or you know, the audited financials, as you mentioned. Those are entirely denominated in Bitcoin. And the reason we did that is, you know, I think we recognize that Bitcoin is a volatile asset against the dollar or the euro or the yen. If you think of it sort of less as a price and more as an exchange rate, you know, it's pretty up and down. But if you're running to use my examples, an insurance company in Swiss francs, You don't wake up every day and really ask yourself, like, what's the exchange rate with the dollar? So by having the entire company denominated in Bitcoin, the, you know, month over month, quarter over quarter, year over year, balance sheet and income statement aren't affected by the movements in the relative value of Bitcoin against other currencies. And we're fortunate that the Bermuda Monetary Authority understood that and thought it was quite sensible as a way to sort of create safety for our policyholders and, you know, for us as a company. So how I think that's affecting how traditional life insurers think is, from our perspective, as I mentioned, you know, I think we've historically came to market with a whole life product where users or policyholders were coming to us on a reverse solicitation basis or coming to Bermuda and buying the policy directly from us. And I think since our audited financials, since our Series A announcement earlier this year, which was a fundraising announcement, we've had a lot of inbound conversations with carriers and reinsurers who realize that they want to bring products to market that include Bitcoin, but that's really hard to do on a dollar balance sheet, say, because it is such a volatile asset. So I think the way they're thinking about their capital situation is, oh, there's this product or these set of products that we want to design, we want to bring to market, but it's really hard to do, given our balance sheet. And they look at us and say, this is a really interesting and sensible way to hold Bitcoin because we don't really take a capital charge on Bitcoin itself. You know, we invest Bitcoin in things like term loans or prime loans, or, you know, like the assets on our balance sheet aren't Bitcoin. The assets are things like loans, and the denomination of our balance sheet is Bitcoin. So I think the long-term implications for insurers are very much driven by their desire to bring products to market that they're struggling with, and then seeing our balance sheet as a way to do that. I think our audited financials, as audited financials themselves might, not be interesting if they weren't in Bitcoin, right? So that's the innovation.
Do you think the Bermuda Monetary Authority approving your Bitcoin denominated financials, could this pave the way for more insurers to adopt Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies in their operations?
The BMA has, we were able to, get the license we have, which is an innovative long-term license, exactly because they were already thinking about that license class and creating it, before we arrived for conversations almost, 3 years ago now. We are the first folks to have gone through the sandbox around that license, the first folks to get the full commercial license. But I know that there are others coming behind us. Bitcoin and crypto, people can have strong opinions. We're very interested in what we consider like durable global stores of value, which we think Bitcoin is one, and the dollar is another. And that's really how we talk about our product, is that if you're concerned about inflation risk or currency risk or regime risk or jurisdictional risk, that this idea of a global decentralized store of value outside the control of any government is really powerful. We know of some other folks who are working to start other insurance company, long-term insurance companies in Bermuda around Ethereum. Maybe there are folks who'll do others. So I do think that we are the tip of the spear on, considering ways to integrate insurance into crypto markets or crypto markets into insurance. I think for a traditional insurance company, or Shishnal Insurance Group, it's certainly going to take years probably to get comfortable with the idea that, you know, just as a US insurer might have a subsidiary in euros, that they should maybe have a subsidiary in Bitcoin. Now, obviously, we think that is part of our market opportunity, is that, you know, we can engage in these institutional or reinsurance relationships with existing carriers. But I'm very conscious that the insurance world is very conservative, you know, moves slowly. And I think, you know, there'll be many steps between now and, you know, the wholesale integration of a company or a product or balance sheet like ours into larger insurance groups.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
Zach, what are the potential regulatory or financial challenges that insurers might face when operating fully in Bitcoin?
It's interesting. I'm not sure I'd say that we've had challenges about Bitcoin per se. I'd say that we certainly have challenges being the first. So anything you might imagine, we've had to have a lot of dialogue with our approved actuary, our external auditor, with the BMA, with our independent board. So a relatively simple question inside the context of traditional insurance, like what's the discount rate you should use on your reserves? You know, that for us is like a 50-page memo, and, you know, trying to extrapolate a yield curve and thus a discount curve in Bitcoin. So I'd say that the challenges are as you'd expect, just around every little thing being the first person to do it, whether that's our insurance reserve or whether that's our thinking about the translation of our statutory financials, which are in Bitcoin, into GAAP financials, which don't really allow for Bitcoin denomination, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think any of it has been insurmountable, or none of it has been insurmountable, but every little step of the way, things you might take for granted, in running an insurance company, you know, we've had to do this from scratch. Actually, I'll give one more example, which is, you know, if you're a traditional dollar life insurance company, you go out and sell as much life insurance as you can, you develop as much liabilities. And then, you know, there's like robust markets to invest in, like right off the bat, right? So you can just go buy treasuries, you can go buy corporate bonds, you can fill out the investment side. Even if like your long-term ambition is, you know, like Apollo or Global Atlantic or whatever, to have more private credit, you can sort of always have the backup of these deep liquid markets on the investment side. For us, we're one of the few players in the world who is doing term lending and sort of any lending at duration in Bitcoin. So, you know, we have had to really develop the investment side of our business just as robustly as we've had to develop the liability generating, you know, insurance product side of our business at the same time. And that might seem like a non-obvious way that doing everything in Bitcoin has been a challenge. But, you know, I think that all of the things I'm mentioning are, you know, part of our you know, our durable advantage, and why I think we'll be fortunate to work with a lot of big existing players who, you know, in theory should be able to do what we're doing, but I think are more interested in working with us and partnering with us than they are in doing it all from scratch themselves.
With the growing legitimacy of crypto-denominated products, where does a whole life insurance policy available in Bitcoin fit into this growing ecosystem?
Yeah, so thanks for the question, Laurie. You know, our existing product, our original core product is a 10-pay whole life product, like pretty well designed to be compliant with the Internal Revenue Code section 7702, which is like the section that says like what is and isn't life insurance. And although we don't sort of sell directly to Americans, you know, a lot of Americans, whether through word of mouth or, hearing me on podcasts or whatever, sort of come to us and are interested in that product. And what's great about it is that, I guess there's two angles. You know, there's certainly a set of people in the world who think that Bitcoin is a durable store of value, you know, maybe not day to day, but certainly decade to decade. And, you know, if you bought $1 million face amount policy in dollars in 2018, which is the year I picked because that's when my son was born and I was thinking a lot about insurance. Then you know, you've seen the purchasing power of that policy go down 20 to 30% because of inflation. And we didn't exist in 2018, but if I bought a 10 Bitcoin policy, then a face amount policy, I would obviously have seen a lot of appreciation. And although there's no guarantee that we'll see similar appreciation over the next 7 years, I do think that anyone who has concerns about the dollar as a store of value over, you know, many decades might consider our policy. And that certainly includes a bunch of Americans, but it also, you know, includes, I don't know, if you live in Argentina, just to pick an extreme example, you don't buy life insurance. And you don't buy life insurance because you're going to live longer than the Argentinian peso. So the idea of buying life insurance from, you know, in this international global decentralized store of value outside the control of any government is a really powerful idea. And fundamentally, life insurance, or whole life insurance in particular, is about that intergenerational protection. It's about long-term savings. It's about tax and estate planning. So those are all things that resonate with the perceived, and I would argue actual, purpose of Bitcoin. And again, as I said, you have BlackRock and Fidelity and Franklin Templeton and others out there saying this should be a part of your retirement savings portfolio. And we believe that for many people, it should be a part of their life insurance portfolio. And then in time, you know, we'll do deferred annuities in Bitcoin, and we'll enable dollar carriers to do fixed index annuities in Bitcoin. And, you know, there's this infinite amount of, not infinite, but there's a lot of different products, you know, whether that's, as I said, annuities or whole life or term life or company-owned life insurance or bank-owned life insurance or guaranteed investment. You know, there's just so many things that long-term insurers do. And, you know, we started with whole life because we think there's just such a clear resonance for a lot of people between saving and protecting for their children and their loved ones and the idea of doing that in Bitcoin. But we see that really any classic long-term insurance product that exists could and should exist in Bitcoin too.
Zach, I'm going to ask you to take out your crystal ball for a moment. How do you think the growing acceptance of Bitcoin and other digital assets might reshape the future of life insurance over the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two different angles. One is, I think the angle that is the core, partially the core of our business, which is we think there's going to be increasing demand globally for insurance products that are denominated in Bitcoin. And that's a sort of our optimistic case. I think actually even the narrower case from a crystal ball perspective, which is just like, this is a new asset class. This is a new asset class that people all over the world are putting in their retirement savings. They're putting them in their 401ks and their IRAs and, you know, just, you know, part of their portfolio. And at the same time, it should be part of your annuity or your life insurance portfolio too, because those are long-term savings products or retirement products as well. So I think what we see in the growing acceptance of this as an asset is that, you know, both it'll exist as we do as like fully denominated in Bitcoin, and then, but it'll also, you know, spread through the insurance ecosystem as, I guess, any new asset that or asset class does.
Zach, this has been so interesting, so insightful, and it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Yes, thanks so much, Lori. And, you know, we are so grateful to so many people in the insurance industry who have been supportive, have been strategic partners, have been investors. And, you know, AM Best has always been, or just plays such an important part in that ecosystem too. So really happy to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. That was Zach Townsend, co-founder and CEO of Meanwhile. For AM Best Audio, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.